Listening Library presents The Smartest Kid in the Universe, Book 3, Evil Genius, by Chris Grabenstein. Read for you by Kirby Hayborn. In memory of my mom, Christine Lemonopoulos Grabenstein, 1926 to 2022. Being gifted doesn't mean you've been given something. It means you have something to give. Prologue. As captain, Aliento de Perro knew he was supposed to go down with his sinking ship. But he was a pirate. Pirates weren't big on obeying the rules. A British man-o-war had just fired a cannon blast that snapped his boat's mizzenmast in two. Splinters and red-hot cinders rained down onto the deck. The sky was on fire. Fortunately, the chicken-hearted cabin boy Eduardo Leones was already rowing upriver in a small dinghy, ferrying a heavy treasure chest filled with plunder. Gold, jewelry, precious artifacts, everything the ship known as the Stinky Dog had pillaged during its 7-year voyage. Well, almost everything. Eduardo's father had been the original capitán of the pirate ship. He was the one responsible for collecting most of its riches. That changed when De Perro led a mutiny that ended with Capitán Leones walking the plank. Now it was De Perro's turn to jump overboard. He would probably never see the cabin boy or the treasure chest again. But that didn't matter. Because young Eduardo didn't have all the Stinky Dog's loot. The most precious item was still on board. La Gran Calabaza. The Big Pumpkin. An orange diamond as round and large as the British cannonballs whizzing through the air. It was worth more than all the other pirate booty combined. The gigantic gemstone sat nestled in a bed of dry straw, locked inside a plain metal box. Capitán de Perro tucked that treasure chest under an arm and made his way to the railing. The ship's bow tilted skyward. Its stern sank deeper into the harbor. Aliento de Perro, whose name meant dog breath, turned to face his scrambling crew.
Hasta luego, tontos! He shouted.
Arr!
Several of the pirates cringed and covered their noses. When Dog Breath shouted, anyone within a fathom could smell how he'd earned his name. The Capitán leapt into the turbulent waters below. He landed with a mighty splash, went under for an instant, and bobbed back to the surface. He grabbed hold of a drifting piece of wood and kicked hard, making his way through a sea of fiery debris. He was headed toward a rocky, oyster-rich island he knew of at the mouth of the bay. Aliento de Perro had a plan. He'd bury his treasure deep within that island's craggy crust. He'd hide it well and mark the spot. And one day, after he'd escaped from whatever prison cage his English captors tossed him into, he'd come back and retrieve La Gran Calabaza. Hours after hiding his precious treasure on the small island, Aliento de Perro was seized by British sailors. They locked him in irons and transported him across the ocean to London, where he was jailed inside Newgate Prison. The pirate wasn't there very long before he was tried, convicted, and sentenced to death by hanging. Capitán de Perro's last visitor, before the prison chaplain arrived to escort him to the gallows, was his son, Huberto, who told his son what his father had told him. When that son became a father, he too passed along the family secret. And so it went for generation after generation. But to this day, no descendant of Aliento de Perro had ever done his bidding. None had ever unraveled his riddle. None had ever found the giant orange diamond known as La Gran Calabaza. Chapter 1. The clock was ticking. Jake McQuaid was on a mission for the top secret agency known as the Consortium. The 12-year-old had already defeated the world's most sophisticated artificially intelligent computer and solved impossible cases for the FBI. And, thanks to his newfound knowledge of geometry, physics, and human psychology, he'd also starred on his middle school basketball team. His pale, freckled skin baked in the scorching midday sun. He was on a high-speed, rigid-hull inflatable boat zooming across choppy waters with a small team of commandos in scuba gear. His mother had been right. Jake should have packed sunscreen. The commando team dropped Jake and his best friend, Kojo Shelton, on a craggy island.
"You two are on your own," said the squad commander, clicking a stopwatch. "You have 15 minutes to secure the package."
Jake used a handheld mapping device to quickly find the target building. But inside the windowless structure, things slowed down. The place was like a dark maze trapped inside a funhouse. Except this house was more dangerous than fun. Jake and Kojo followed the blinking green dot through a series of switchbacks and found themselves trapped inside a black box of a room. The instant their feet hit the floor, a huge metal door slammed shut behind them.
"We need to get out of this room, Jake," said Kojo, checking his glowing watch. "Fast! We only have 10 more minutes to secure the package."
"Working on it," said Jake. He was thinking, trying to come up with a solution.
"Where to next?"
I'm not sure.
"What? Come on, use your big jelly-beaned brain."
This mission was clearly a test of Jake's superior intellect, and that made him a little nervous. Jake hadn't become super intelligent the usual way, studying, reading books, doing homework. He'd taken a shortcut, ingestible knowledge capsules in the form of jelly beans. Jake never knew if or when his mental superpowers would disappear. He just hoped it wasn't today. Chapter 2.
"Oh, wow, check it out," said Kojo,
rustling around inside the sleek nylon sling bag the consortium had given them for this mission.
"There's all sorts of cool gear in here. Duct tape, a Swiss Army knife, a pair of binoculars. Hold up, I think there's some Hershey bars in here, too."
He sniffed loudly.
"Oh, yeah, that's chocolate."
Another sniff.
"This one has almonds."
"Great," mumbled Jake. He was distracted. His whole mind was focused on the mapping device, but the green dot in the center of the grid had stopped moving. All it was doing now was blinking.
"Looks like that thing's busted," said Kojo,
peering over Jake's shoulder. Jake nodded, even though he wasn't sure Kojo was right. He needed time to study the sequence of blinks. "Two long, one short," he muttered. "Three long, long, short, 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 short."
"You thinking about pants?" said Kojo. "Shirt sleeves?"
"Nope." Jake reached into his own nylon sling bag. He shoved aside the binoculars and pulled out a spiral notebook and a pen.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?